greetings from Maryam Alamu. Salam, salam, salam. You are listening to How Do You See It with your one and only host, Maryam Alamu. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your one stop to gain motivation, learn from stories around the world, and participate to share your perception towards your life. www.blogtalkradio.com/world perspective.
Hello and welcome, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Monday. Happy Monday to you all. Hope you had a beautiful weekend. Hope you enjoyed this few. We have a few, I think about four weekends left on the summer. So I think you're enjoying that. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you so much for joining in today. Today we're going to continue discussing with Cedric Newbern about divorce and how we can cope up with it, how we can move on at the end and let go. And so last week, we've discussed some things about how you can tell it to our kids. And I even asked him the feeling of that day when you realize that the divorce is happening and the feeling of the wedding day. And he actually told me that wedding days are more, it gives more sense to women, not to us. So maybe it's because I'm a woman. But I thought it would have some kind of relationship to it. Anyway, so we talked about that. And he told us that people are getting divorced too quickly right now because they're getting married too early. So today, actually, we're going to get deep into that. And I'm going to ask him what age he recommends to get married. So we're going to talk about that. And we also talked about that. We blame others or the other party for a divorce, a breakup or anything, and forget to, you know, take a moment and think that relationship failed because of our problem too. It's a two-way thing. So if it doesn't work, it's usually from, there's something going on from both of us. So we talked about that too. So we dug deep and we discussed a lot of things, and I hope you've learned a lot of things from him. He's amazing. So today we're going to continue our discussion and ask him some more questions. He's going to tell us his advice, and his book is amazing. You should go get his books. I have all the information, the name of the books on this show. You can get it there. He have written two books, Unconditional Forgiveness and Lessons on Letting Go to Build a Better Relationship. So they are really amazing. You should go get them and let me know what you think. And you can tell them what you think as well. Hope you're going to enjoy this today's show. Let me know what you think. You can text me on Facebook or you can tweet at me at howdoyou_see it. Are divorce and death alike?
Absolutely. And the reason I say that, it is, there's a lot of sorrow around it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pain that it's not isolated. As I said before, when you get divorced, there are multiple people on both sides of the family that are impacted by the divorce, just as death. In many cases, there are people that no longer speak to each other ever again. Uh-huh. So it's like you've literally removed a person or people from your life forever. Now, granted, you know, if the person is still alive, there is the opportunity to run into them and, you know, be connected, especially in the world of social media. There are ways that you can stay connected with people, but in many ways, the process of healing and getting over the pain, it's the same.
Okay, but how does the bereavement process that you just mentioned related to death differ from adjustment to divorce for both kids and as well as for parents?
You know, I would say, again, children are at a different place. Children, by and large, tend to be a lot more optimistic than adults, just because they've not had as many setbacks or or failures or disappointments in life as adults have. So they do have a tendency to heal a lot faster, though they have to adjust to the changes. So if mom and dad divorce and then dad comes to pick the kid up for the weekend and now he's introducing the kid to another lady, well, now that kid has to deal with that. And that can be challenging. That can be hurtful because the children really want to see the parents get back together again. Children, there are children that carry that for 20 years, this desire that their parents will somehow, some way get back together. So I think that the process is a little different, but I still say it's the same. Okay. You know, there's still a lot of pain that's there. There's still a lot of hurt. And there are a lot of questions that go unanswered for everyone, both adults and children. And that's, I think that's where the similarities are. But again, the process may be slightly varied just because of the age difference in experiences.
Okay. What are some ways to successful co-parenting after divorce?
You know, I would say, number one, co-parenting is co-parenting as a title should frankly not be used in terms of how you view what your role is. And the reason I say that, and I do use the word, the term co-parenting, you're parenting, period. And if you approach it as I am still this child's parent, it's my job to be the role model to pour into this child or these children in the way that I would, whether I'm, you know, in the home or not, this is what needs to happen. So that's number one. When you understand your role and you are doing what you should do, the idea of co-parenting kind of goes out the window and it becomes just that parenting. Number two, I think that communication has to always be about the child's best interest. Many times, and I write about this in my first book, many times children are used by parents as bargaining chips and negotiation tools so that they can increase their income or decrease their income or, whatever it is, justify time spent. You know, the children end up in the middle of the fight. The children end up in the middle of the fight that never ended. Yeah. And that's where the problem comes in. You, as adults, you have to be just that, adults, and set the example for children to let them know that this is, you know, mommy and daddy aren't together, but we both love you unconditionally and we want what's best for you. So the adults need to put their feelings aside, put their emotions aside, and recognize that all the children really want is to be happy. And that's all they need, is to be happy. So I think if you can do those two things, obviously communication is key, and getting along. And I have heard many cases where people, you know, fought like cats and dogs when they were married, but then they get divorced and now they enjoy each other. You know, they limited the time that they're around each other. They don't have to, you know, see each other all the time. They don't have to make decisions and have conversations all the time as they did when they were in a relationship. So now, you know, it's good news reports. Hey, little Johnny got all A's. Susie made the gymnastics team. You know, oh, this is awesome. You know, so now they've got something to focus on that makes them both proud, and the communication improves. But again, that takes maturity, because you've got to say, you know, if one parent is still angry about the relationship ending, then they won't get to that place until that parent lets that go.
Yeah. Well, until now we discussed everything about it, the feeling of a wedding. We started from that. We started how we can cope up with the divorce, how we can forgive the other person and ourselves, how we can move on, and how we can tell our kids about the divorce and everything. So now that we have moved on, let's say. We have moved on. It's now we want to take the next to the next person. We want to go out and start dating. And, you know, when this comes, if you have kid, you have to help your kid move on as well, because they don't know what's going to come up. Not every age of kid, but especially the younger kids are not going to know that you're going to bring a new person to their life. So how can you make it easier for them to accept that new person in their life, that it's coming, there's a new person, they're going to have to work with them. That person is going to replace their dad or their mom, and it's not always as easier for little kids, especially if they are like 10 years old or less. It's not easier. So how can we make that easier for them?
Absolutely. You know, I would say, first and foremost, and I commend, so my parents divorced as well. When I was a baby, I was 9 months old when my parents divorced. Mm-hmm. And my mom did a really good job, as I've seen other women do, of not introducing me to every guy she dated. Mm-hmm. That, number one, is probably the best thing to do, because kids, believe it or not, especially the younger they are, if they really had an appreciation or desire for their dad to be in the house, the last thing you want to do is bring someone else in, because now that kid is thinking, oh, wow, this is going to be the replacement. So they're going to have this expectation that this person is going to do just that. Well, when that relationship goes south, then the child is going to be even more disappointed. So it's best that you hold off introducing that new person, and it goes men and women, introducing that new person to the child until you know it's really serious. The other thing I would absolutely recommend is that before you even, if you're talking about marriage, you're talking about spending your life together, blending families really starts with a commitment of both adults to be that child's parent. And here's where I think we often miss the boat. There is absolutely no way that another man could replace my dad in my life. He did not, you know, his DNA is not in me. So he cannot replace my dad, but he can still be a father to me. And it's okay that I have two fathers if they both are doing exactly what they should as my father. That's critical, because I think a lot of times, and I'll say my mom, she'll admit when my mom remarried, she and my stepdad kind of said, okay, you got your kids, I got my son, you don't tell me what to do with my child, I won't tell you what to do with yours. And by creating that barrier between the two of us, there were things that I think were missed for me as a young man growing up. Even though there was a man in my house, he didn't take on a father role with me, both because he was kind of forewarned, and two, because I heard that conversation. So therefore, I didn't have that same level of respect for him, because I was kind of like, yeah, that's right. You're not my daddy, so why you can't tell me what to do, you know? I got a daddy, and if I need to go, I'll go move in with my daddy in Los Angeles. Yeah. So those are the kind of things that I think where we make mistakes as adults. Again, it was done out of protection from my mom's perspective. Absolutely. I know for a fact she didn't want to see, you know, anyone come in and mistreat me, be mean to me. But at the same time, if you love this man enough to marry him, then I would hope that you also know that he would not mistreat me, and that the two of you could have a conversation and address issues and challenges that you may have with me as a child. And that's, again, where I think we fall short. I think, you know, in the end, it's easier for kids to accept that there's a new person, a new father, new mother in relationship with their parent, if it is introduced to them correctly, with time and lots of communication, understanding of how things go. So it has to be mutual parenting. It has to be, and it's no different than when you're parenting now. So, you know, if my son tries to play me against my wife, she and I need to have some kind of agreement. Okay, well, wait a second. Let's make sure we ask. Did you ask your mama first? Well, what did mama say? You know, so that way, you know, we're not being played by the kids. It's the same concept when you bring someone new in. And now instead of it being just, you know, mom and dad, it may be mom and dad and stepmom and stepdad, that they all four have to mutually agree on how to parent the child. Again, not easy. Definitely not something I wish for a lot of people, but you know, in the end, that will help break some of the cycles that we see of major divorce rates in America today.
Okay. So how would you rate the successfulness of remarriages? Because for some people, of course, they learn from what they have made a mistake in the other marriage, and they try not to do the same thing on the next one. But there are people who constantly get divorced, right? There are some people who are married more than three times or so. So how would you... excuse me. Sorry. So how would you say the successfulness of remarriage? Not everybody would be able to work on what they have done. As we have talked earlier about it, not everybody's going to say or believe that they have made mistakes as well. So if you keep blaming the other person, then you're not going to fix anything about yourself. So not every remarriages are successful, but how successful are remarriages in your opinion?
Well, I actually have some statistics, though I'm not a numbers guy, so I may very well mistake the number. But I do know, you know, we all hear the stat that 50% of marriages fail in America.
Yeah.
I believe the number is somewhere around 60-63% of second marriages fail, and somewhere around 71-72% of third marriages fail. So that being said, I am a prime example of being married again. My wife has married me, so I'm, you know, so we both have been married and divorced, and we are what you described earlier. We learn from our mistakes. We have a commitment to making sure that the relationship works and that we communicate well. I mean, it's not perfect, and in no way is it perfect, but when we have a disagreement, we've now learned to deal with each other, meet each other, leave each other alone, and understand, you know, try to get better understanding of each other as we deal with each other. So our remarriage, actually, I'm going to go on record as saying it is going to be one of those success stories, and it has been for the last 11 and a half years. So we're enjoying life. And I don't see my life changing in, you know, one. I mean, we are businesses together. We do everything where I believe our remarriage is a success story. But to your point, there's so many people out there that unfortunately they had a bad relationship. They looked at all that stuff that was bad. They pulled out their luggage or their suitcase. They pulled all that stuff, dumped it in the suitcase, zipped it up. And then they are walking out the door with it, and they're starting up the new marriage. And guess what they do? They pull that suitcase out, and they unzip all that garbage that they dealt with in the first marriage or their approaches to the first marriage. And they don't resolve those issues. They don't have those conversations with themselves. They blame the other spouse or their ex-spouse for what happened, and they don't take ownership. And for that matter, they don't change their mindset. They don't change their mindset to know that in order for the relationship to work, they have to make sacrifices, they have to make compromises, they have to put the other person ahead, in many cases, of even their own needs for the sake of keeping the peace, so to speak. They also have to love themselves in a tremendous way and set expectations and not falter on that. So if they walk into that next relationship, then there's a 60% chance that that relationship is going to end in divorce as well. So there's a challenge. And what I try to do through my efforts is help people see what might be the root cause of what's causing them the pain, how the pain shows up for them in different ways, how they carry the pain from relationship to relationship. And in many cases, they carry that same pain, a reaction to the pain, even in the workplace. They pass it along to their children and their children's children because they're, again, providing education and guidance based on their failures. Oh, don't do this, because let me tell you, so-and-so, they'll take advantage of you if you let them see you do this, or you be, you know, they give all the wrong advice that creates divide instead of, you know, love that person unconditionally. Find out what their love language is and speak to them in that. Don't assume that what makes you feel loved is what makes the other person feel loved. So, and again, there's so many books written on how to have a successful relationship or how to have a successful marriage or what to do once you've had a failed marriage. But ironically, I don't know that people read them and then live by them.
What are the potential problems and opportunities of blended families from the perspective of step-parents, step-children relationship?
Yeah, I kind of touched on this earlier. I think the real problem comes in when there is that separation of my child versus your child. You know, you can provide for my child, but you can't discipline my child. All of those kinds of things that I think women often do for the sake of protecting their children. And I'm not even, you know, not to mention, I should say, you know, if there's concern of inappropriate behavior, you know, there's always that concern when you got, especially when you got young ladies that you're raising and you bring a man into the house. You know, all of those things exist, or those fears exist. And then the parent, in an attempt to try to protect the child, ends up isolating the child or isolating the parent. And in doing so, it demeans their level of respect. It demeans their opportunity to even be a parent to that child. So I think the more engaged both parents are at creating a new family, that helps. That makes the transition of blending families so much better. Absolutely.
Do you have, let's say, a recommendation of when people should get married? At what age should people get married? I know it's different for a guy and for a woman, but what's your suggestion on that?
I laugh because I have said, so I got married when I was 26.
Wow, okay.
Going on 27.
Okay.
And I got married and I was divorced by 30, 31.
Okay.
And somewhere about age 30 is when I realized what I really wanted in a wife. That's when I really thought, okay, maybe it is time for me to settle down. Mm-hmm. And you notice I was already in a marriage when I realized what I wanted in a wife and that it was time for me to settle down. and I'm being silly about it, but I think for men, we don't need to consider marriage until late 20s, early 30s, and for a variety of reasons. The number one reason, obviously, is maturity level.
Yes.
You know, again, not every person is the same. Not all men are the same, so you can't run a broad brush across everyone. But many of us as guys, we're not mature in that sense. We've not been dreaming of the day that, looking for... looking for marriage, we've not been dreaming of that day. So many of us don't mature into that role of being a husband until our late 20s. Now, I've known some guys that are in their early 20s that are phenomenal dads, phenomenal husbands.
Yes.
But I think by and large, men should wait. I believe women are a lot more mature in that sense. So 25, 26, 27, mid to late 20s would be a good space for women. I would say, again, it depends on that person's maturity level, what they've been through. And I am also a big believer in, you know, you want to establish yourself. You want to establish yourself as a couple, and then you want to have children. And so many people are, you know, they hear the clock ticking and they think, oh my goodness, I'm getting close to 30. I better hurry up and get married and hurry up and have some kids, because if I don't, then, you know, it's all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, giving yourself a few years to really enjoy each other. Now, I'll say in our case, when my wife and I married, we ended up having our son 2 years later because we got married later in life. We were in our early 30s.
Yeah.
And by the time we wanted to have children, you know, we were in our mid 30s, and physically things change and doctors scare you, then you know what out of you.
Yeah.
So that was the rush for us to go ahead and have a child. And so what happened, our lives really have become what I would call centered around our child. And, you know, for young people, it would be nice to live in the city and hang out and go out to eat, go out to drink, go dance and all that stuff, and do that for several years until you're ready to sit down in the suburban life and, you know, drive the minivans and go to soccer games.
Yeah.
So I think those are the little things that I would recommend, and women are ready for that. Usually in the mid-20s to late 20s, versus those knucklehead guys that they don't start to figure it out till about 28, 29, 30.
Yeah.
And again, as I've done my mini research, many of the guys, including myself, that got married younger, ended up divorced at 30. And so that to me is why I look at 30, especially for guys.
Okay. So when we first started the show, I even tried to introduce you, but I might have missed some things out. So tell us about yourself, and please tell us how people can reach you, can reach out to you, and maybe they need help, they need coaching about this. So tell us how they can get you, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me on your show. This has been an amazing experience. I've thoroughly enjoyed this enjoyed actually attempting to answer the questions, because, again, they were some very deep questions for me to answer, and I appreciate that. I am, again, Cedric Newbern, and I would say, to sum it up, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, but really my whole purpose in life, what I believe God put me here to do, is to help people. Everything that I do in my vocation, in my volunteer efforts, it's all around helping people be better people, helping to move them from one place to the next. And that's really what I built my life around. And I do that because people did it for me. So that's really what I'm about. What I would say is, if you are looking to build yourself, to move from where you used to be to where you'd like to be, to figure out how to get on that journey to forgiveness, how to get on the journey to healing and restoration, I would absolutely invite you to follow me on social media. I have a Facebook page called Unconditional Forgiveness. It's actually titled after the first book, and I post motivational memes there just about every day. And I also post videos. I do a weekly video blog that I share thoughts, ideas around relationships, and all of that is through my social media accounts. And again, Instagram, Cedric Newbern. It's a very unique spelling, but it's SedricNewbern. If you Google my name, hopefully my website will pop up as well, cedricnewbern.com, and you can also find social media links there. From time to time, I host workshops, I have speaking engagements, and I do try to get out around the country to speak to groups of women, young people, even men, to talk about some of these tough topics around forgiveness and relationship building and so forth. So those are the things that I'm really passionate about, and I would love for people to go to my website. If you do, there's a pop-up that will allow you to just enter your email address, and you can download the free ebook that we were discussing earlier. So I invite you to join the journey to forgiveness.
Perfect. And I will be putting every information that he just mentioned on this show, so that you can go ahead and click the links. You can see the social medias, you can get every information on here. I'll be putting everything on this show.
I have only one last question for you, Cedric.
Yes.
So, do you agree that for a marriage to work, especially when we come from the men's side, what they need to be is just be present for their women? Do you agree on that?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. And being present, I think, has a couple of tentacles to it. Being present in physical presence, so being available, being present emotionally, because so many of us as men disconnect emotionally from our women and our children. And then also being present spiritually. We've got to be the shield for our families, the shield for our relationship. We've got to pray for our spouse and our children and our family each and every single day. And I think if we, and I say that also goes for women as well, because I think women by and large have this understanding that men are not present. But I think women aren't present too, because many women have a tendency to put their children ahead of their spouse.
True.
Many women will invest all of their time and energy into the children, and by the time they put the kids to bed, they have nothing left to give to the husband. So I think if you both are present, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I think you will have a lasting relationship. And Don't beat yourself up if you're not present each and every moment of the day. It's okay. But I think your spouse would appreciate, you know, putting the phone away, turning off the, you know, Love and Hip Hop show, you know, those kinds of things, you know, scheduled date nights. And I did, and I hope it's okay for me to say this on your show, but I even did a video blog one day about scheduling intimacy in your marriage. So that way you break the monotony of, oh, when is it going to happen? Oh, it didn't happen. Stop fighting about it. Just say every Tuesday night, you know, this is what's going to happen. And you both are committed to it. That's, again, another way of being present and addressing what often can be one of the root causes for arguments in relationships. So being present even financially, you know, what commitments are we making? Can we sit down and budget? So, yeah, you probably just gave me a topic for my next book.
Beautiful. I'm glad. I think a lot of people will be lining up to buy that book.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thank you so much, Cedric, for being here, for taking the time out to be with us, to share this with us. This is something very important, I think, especially nowadays. Divorce is very high. The divorce rate is very high. And that's why I really wanted to talk about this issue. And I'm really thankful for you, and I'm really thankful for your life, actually, because if you had not gone through that, you might not be pursuing this career. So I'm very thankful for all of that, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Miriam, and I'm serious. I am so honored to be on your show, and feel free if there's anyone as a follow-up to your show that wants to get in touch with me, please send them my way. And anytime you need me, you know how to find me. I will be right there.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I will. Thank you so much.